talking about podcast. We're talking about itty bitty podcast.
Merry Mini Monday, Chunkies. That one was for y'all.
Was yeah, no, I can tell.
Thank you, thank you.
I'm Carter.
I'm Doge the Afflicted.
I'm Jordan the Normal, the regular guy.
Jordan the Normal. Doge the Afflicted has COVID.
That is true.
Unfortunately.
That is very true.
So you'll hear a COVID Doge today and tomorrow.
I personally don't think it's real, so
but
I'm not sure what
on,
he has.
But we press on, don't we? We press
Me?
Through.
No, I'm real, I promise.
No, I just I don't think COVID's real.
Is it real?
Actually, if you watch the whole thing back, I'm played by Brad Pitt.
If
I'm
you not real. Play, if you play COVID at the same time as Pink Floyd.
Yeah, dude, same.
I thought you'd like cut out. That was so funny. We have a very special episode today, extended edition, thanks to Labor Day. Well, also thanks to many, many things. But happy Labor Day, everybody. Mm. We're going to be reviewing The Raid today in a mini Woo. Review because tomorrow we view and review. We've already viewed. Now we review The Raid 2 because these do feel like they should be packaged. I'm sure there'll be plenty of conversations around that. Before I get there, though... Mm. A bit of a shameless pitch first for Discord, the $5 tier of Patreon, because we have Box Office Ball and we have a new month-to-month domestic grossing top 10 movie strategy for Box Office Ball this year. I thought it would be fun at the end of every month to read to you boys the top 10 highest grossing films domestically. Are we ready?
Please.
Now,
yeah.
August, yes. What's fun about this is... We can tend to see trends. We've talked often about how Black Panther came in several years ago and bucked the trend of February just being absolutely nothing. Usually during the week of the Oscars, nobody cares. But blockbusters can be anywhere. August was interesting. We had the tail end of some blockbusters, and then we had some that were aiming to be that. But we start with, do you want to go 10 to 1 or 1 to 10?
Let's go 10 to 1 for sure.
10 to 1 is so fun. I'm glad y'all like that. That's usually my favorite way of doing things. Number 10... The Austin Butler flick, Elvis.
Mm. Ooh.
Available for stream August. Starting tomorrow.
Wild.
Oh, which cool. is how I will be viewing it.
It had had a June 24th release, but had enough heat that it went ahead and was top 10. It's also because the kind of month that we had.
Sure.
Number 9 was the August 19th release, so only 2 weeks out of this, was Beast, the Idris Elba. Mm.
Did you end up going Idris to see Elba. That?
I haven't seen it yet. Things kept coming up, and I wasn't able to see it.
Like,
but
just
the reviews
good taste
are
and stuff.
Okay. I think it's fun. I'm going to see it regardless at this point.
It's been surprisingly positive.
Yeah.
More positive than I expected.
It was at 20 million. So Elvis was 18.5 million. Beast was 20 million. Remember, this is domestically just for the month of August.
Sure.
Where the Crawdads Sing, number 8. This was one Chelsea saw based off the best-selling book, 28
what did
million.
Think? I heard, eh.
I don't know if I've really heard her opinion on it. I wonder if it's around there. But
is she home right now?
She is home right now.
Let's ask her.
Hey, Chels.
Yeah.
What did you think of Where the Crawdads Sing?
Like adaptation of book-wise or like just as a movie?
Give me both. Adaptation to book first.
Adaptation to book live first.
Okay, yeah.
The book, I thought it was like pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate.
Pretty good. Movie-wise, it was probably like, what scale do you want?
Scientific cinema scale.
Mm. Mm. Movie-wise, it's a stream. Yeah, adaptation book to movie was good.
Good.
It felt like it kind of held to the book
heard.
Really well. Yeah, that's about what I've heard too. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thanks, Chelsea.
We'll have to cut a little bit of that check to her for this week, just to for this tax purpose.
Here's the thing that would happen. I won't share.
Yeah, it's going to come out of your sort of
Number 7, 3 million higher than Where the Crawdads Sing. So number 7. Released August 19th, Dragon Ball Super.
Oh.
Superhero. Okay. Phenomenal. That's awesome.
Cool.
That's really cool. The distributor, our distributor was Crunchyroll, which is a popular platform for watching anime. I think it's really fun that they had something here on the top charts. Number 6, they're here, boys. They never go away. Minions, The Rise of Gru was the 6th highest grossing domestically with 34 million. Here's what's fun. A handful of these have $3 million differences and some of them have less than $1 million difference.
Wow.
This is part of why we kind of added this dynamic to Box Office Ball. Number 5, Thor, Love and Thunder.
Sure.
Yeah.
35 million. Number four, Nope.
35 million.
Yeah. 35 million. Nope was number four at 37 million. Top Gun Maverick was number three.
Wow. Grief, Top Gun.
Top also, Gun Maverick, number three at 41 well. Million. It's unbelievable. DC, League of Super Pets, number two at 51 million, a $10 million jump. And then 27 million higher than that. Number one. You boys have a guess for August? Number one highest grossing film?
Can't think of anything that's ever come out.
We reviewed we reviewed it. Bullet Train.
No, I didn't I didn't think that anything came out.
There's something that happens. Now Doge has COVID brain and recording brain.
Recording brain and COVID brain. You know what's funny? As long as my tongue and my teeth work together to make words instead of just sounds on this episode, it's going to be a win for me.
I'm glad people are seeing Bullet Train.
I'm pretty surprised by that, actually.
Honestly, I was joking, but I really didn't think Bullet Train would be the number one spot. I didn't think about it at all. I love it. I'm glad people are seeing it. It just, you know.
Who was the best choice?
The best choice. So you can choose an actor. You only get to use that actor once.
Can I guess Keith David?
You're correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's credited in these things.
Yep.
One that did not do well was Idris Elba. Who you chose because he wasn't credited for Thor.
I know.
No credit for Thor. So you were in a good shape. You were in a good shape if you simply just got person who was in Bullet Train.
Which I did.
Which Jordan
Who'd you
did.
Pick? Brian Tyree Henry.
Brian Tyree Henry. That's so funny too that he ended up being one of your favorite parts about the movie.
Oh, I think you knew that.
I think you knew that.
I just love Brian Tyree Henry. Yeah. That's a good point.
Have we ever talked about a movie on my Mini Monday?
I'm sure we have at some point.
Doesn't feel like it's been very often. Around here, we don't try and say it all at the same time because I've already said it before and I teased it. So I missed my chance there. But I want us to, before we even get to the break, let's talk Raid.
Yeah.
And let's, before we do that, Doge, is it okay if you can give me, it's a Mini Monday, so either a mini synopsis or only half of a long synopsis.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I'll find one and I'll read
How
every
could there be
word.
A long synopsis of The Raid?
I really
so
don't
So simple,
know.
So sweet.
It is so simple and so sweet.
Here we
the
go.
Raid here's is the amuse-bouche.
Go ahead. Here's a short one. A SWAT team becomes trapped in a tent. Wait. This IMDb synopsis has author, which means all the Zeus stuff we say all the time.
Yeah, sure.
A SWAT team. We say it and we love it. Everybody loves it. It's everybody. I get a lot of fame. It's everybody's favorite part of the show. A SWAT team becomes trapped in a tenement run by a ruthless mobster and his army of killers and thugs.
That's all you need, baby. That's it.
That's really it. That's honestly it.
That's it.
And I'd love to dive straight in. I want to say, first of all, I love how different all of our action movies are.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are all so very different.
Yes.
And I want to start by saying The Raid, which is out of Indonesia, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
The Raid. Okay, so the beautiful thing about Mad Max Fury Road is that George Miller gave us a world that was ultimately unfamiliar with vehicles and people that were all completely exotic and unfamiliar.
Sure.
And then he pulled it off and made it a wonderful action movie. The wonderful thing about The Raid is it puts you in a scenario, it puts you in an environment that is like, it has our people wearing things that feel familiar to us, holding things that are familiar to us with these specific guns and stuff. And it goes in and just very simply does it semi-perfectly.
Yeah.
I think it gives us new parts there. And I think so much has to be given to the fighting style of The Raid. I wanted to start by saying, does it feel more realistic to you? One of the things that's happening to me when we watch these international action flicks is that I'm realizing, I wonder what the lens will be like to watch an American action movie. Because of what The Raid is, I was thinking of The Departed, specifically The Raid 2.
Yeah,
The Raid 2.
And when people fight and run from each other, I had never realized how quiet it is. That we're not grunting and breathing loud and stuff.
Oh, dude, for sure.
One of my favorite things about The Raid is realism. Mm-hmm. It's also one of my least favorite things in a way that it has, like, it's one thing to be like, oh, it's another thing to be like, oh,
yeah.
Like, ooh. Just like you're watching it, like, oh my God. But the whole time that we're fighting, I imagine Chelsea didn't watch it, but she was in a room near me.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine 60 minutes of that movie sound the exact same to her.
100%.
Yeah.
Because it is just punching and everyone is screaming. And it's just like,
Dude, that's just what constantly. It is, right? It's not even like grunts a lot of the time. It's just like, ah! Like, yeah. It's just full-blown chest screaming. And it's magical. I think something that's interesting about both raids, but specifically Raid 1, is that it is not the best action movie in the world. It is a vehicle for the best fight scenes you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah.
Like, it is this I would say, so spoiler, I guess, for tomorrow where we talk about the Raid 2, not that we didn't already say that, but I love them both for completely different reasons and also the exact same reasons, if that makes sense. So like the Raid Redemption, which is the technical name for Raid 1, has this like animalistic need to survive that drives the whole thing. Like anytime we're not fighting, we're catching our breath from or preparing for another fight.
Yeah.
That's all we do, this whole movie. It's just, it's punch, 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 kick, 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 shoot, 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 explosion, explosion, explosion. Yeah. Back into it, back into it, back into it. Like there is no room to breathe here.
It is. And I love it. I guess I'm feeling more like the difference between Fury Road and Raid, which they're obvious, is like, because they are still the same genre. And I love how different those genres can be. But like Chunktober's not too far away. Horror with fantasy elements can be gruesome, but you don't end up being afraid of some of these things.
Sure.
It's like if there's some kind of monster, you're like, okay, not a big deal. That's going to stick with me forever. But when there is a hyper-realism to it, you're like, this is a little bit scarier to me.
Yeah, dude.
Because it can come get me.
Uh-huh,
Whatever this scenario is can happen to me.
It's the difference in Immortan Joe's mask and presumably lower jaw getting ripped off.
Yeah.
Versus the guy who gets his head spiked on a broken door in this one.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That hallway fight with the machete crew is my super pump for the Raid 1. Just by the way.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It represents everything I love about this movie.
The Raid is scary in that I'm actually watching actual people with the ability to do these actual things. Now, granted, there is a certain flair to it in fanfare, but I know that if I've upset any of these people and they were out to get me, they will get me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're going to get got. You can't not
you
get got.
You will get
so
got.
Aiko Uwe, the actor that plays Rama, is all of 5'6". In fact, they specify on IMDb 5'6" and a quarter. They specify and a quarter on IMDb.
You got to count.
He's all of 5'6" and could murder me. I'm 6'1" and he would kill me in 0.2 seconds. He really, really, really does all of this stuff. I don't know how much you guys researched. Him and the actor that plays Mad Dog, they choreographed all of the fighting for this the Raid 2.
Yep. Yeah.
Dude. Every punch was them.
Did you see Mad Dog train?
It's a dance.
Pinkak Salat? What is that? The martial art?
Yes, Malaysian martial art. Or Indonesian martial art.
Mad Dog trained like some government security folks.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
In this.
Insane.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. What?
So this is like, it's almost the difference to me between like a cool stylized shootout and like a sick stunt sequence. Mm-hmm. But in this case, the stunts are the actual action as well. And the people doing them. So I compared Rama, Aiko to Jason Statham. Mm. And this is what I mean by that.
I dig it.
Jason Statham
hates The Rock.
Jason Statham's acting has never and will never be a draw to me ever.
Yeah.
But he's passable enough that he doesn't distract from the cool stuff happening. The difference is Aiko is bringing the most impressive set of skills in this entire movie and is doing a fine job acting. I mean, like, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be crazy. It
doesn't need that. And so what we end up
getting...
I almost
prefer if we're going to have a not so fine job that it be the protagonist in these 100%. Scenarios sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we can still root for him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But man, I watched these for the first time 2 weeks ago and just watching it again.
You're back.
As I pressed play, I was like, man, this feels like a lot to go back. And then 2 minutes in, I was like, never mind. It's so good.
Yeah. The Raid holds its cards pretty close to its chest at first. I had seen The Raid quite a while ago for the first time. And it was really only off of hype that I had to discover for myself.
Sure.
Because a lot of people, not a ton of people were talking about it, but it was very highly acclaimed, both audience and critic. And for that to happen for an action movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's rare.
Is rare. unless it's Five for Fighting, and every single one of these are
it's probably better. Yeah.
But I remember the beginning just kind of being like, okay, what's about to happen? I remember looking for something that was going to be impressive. And one of the very first scenes, he just goes after that dummy in his house.
Yeah.
And he's punching at a speed that feels fast forwarded.
Yeah.
It feels impossible.
Yeah.
I would look like an absolute idiot trying to move my hands that quickly. And then it kind of holds back a little bit. And then it shows some pretty fun, like, cinematic acumen, like cinematography in terms of like how we have these wide shots of the, we're kind of ripping the roof off of a lot of environments to be able to show them from up top
and
outside.
The cinematography is cool.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Super cool. Specifically when we're hiding behind the false wall in that apartment and we show it top down like a dollhouse. We repeat that trick in a moving vehicle in Raid 2. We'll talk about that. But that's
about machete through the cheek. Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe we'll talk about the worst thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Not good.
Cannot.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. It feels like as soon as we get into the building and we understand what the premise is, which we know immediately when we're in that truck, we know what's going on. That's when I was in. I was just fully in. I was like, you're telling me these 20 gentlemen's highly trained are going to navigate all the way up to the top. And they've given us exactly like, hey, here's the deal. Head honcho, two henchmen. Here's what he does for people that rent this place. Don't take them for granted because they're criminals too. Everybody's ready.
Oh my gosh. The plot of this movie is just one of those ads for those mobile games that's like, you're a level 2 thug and the level 9,000 thug will punch you so hard. Like that's all this movie is.
That's actually my super pump is how like, how just simple and elemental and self-contained.
Go fight, baby.
The plot of this is, it reminds me of, we've just come off our train series. It reminds me if you stood a train up on its butt and it was a train vertical into the sky because we're stuck in this apartment building. We're all just contained and we have to fight to, in our train movies, we always had to fight to the front of the train. Now we have to fight to the top of the apartment building, but then we have to fight down the apartment building. I don't know. It's just so, the fact that it is, they're able to continually maintain and raise stakes being so self-contained within this almost bottle episode kind of structure is fantastic.
So this was there's some diehard elements to it.
It feels very, very diehard, Carter. I had that same exact thought. It feels feels like the Raid 1 is diehard, but more brutal. It feels like the Raid 2 is the Departed, but more brutal. And those are our sort of guidestones here. Doge, this was your first watch of either Raid movies.
Correct.
Did you feel adequately prepared for the level of brutality?
I was pretty surprised, I think, by the level of violence. Because I think there's a difference between like stylized and maybe amplified would be a good counter to it. Like stylized would be something that's hyper-violent, like Bullet Train.
Sure.
Where it was like, this is incredibly violent, but it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
It's like Looney Tunes, except for they bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is just like amplified where it's just like, oh my goodness, this is probably the most brutal movie I've ever seen.
And the editing too, like what we're doing in post to add blood,
to add all the muzzle flashes. You saw that these were airsoft guns.
It's unbelievable.
Shot entirely with airsoft
guns. It reminds me of to edit like that with how quickly things are moving, that you're having to add stuff in, took me right back to the Pokemon Stadium minigame where I'm Scyther and I have to cut the log that's just falling.
For sure.
Like, okay, boom. Like now, okay, perfect. But they nailed every single one of those. Absolutely every single one of those. I have a super pump. I want to give it to you after this break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we're back. Here's my super pump,
please.
I love when the spirit of the mission of a movie is given to us in a bite-sized scene. I can look at a scene and tear it apart and be like, this is this absolute spirit of the Raid. When they're behind the false wall and the machete comes through and cuts Rama, right? It's not as much as the setting. In terms of the guy who threw that butcher in there doesn't know that he's cut somebody.
Sure.
The consciousness and the just detail-oriented meticulousness of this movie is when Rama puts up his hand to make sure that when it's pulled out,
no blood.
There's no blood on it.
Ooh, yeah.
Boy.
And that's not even action.
Right.
One of the most impressive scenes in the movie to me had nothing to do. It had everything to do with a knife in somebody's face, right? Mm-hmm. So that sounds like action. But the wherewithal and the smarts to say like, hey, there's some realism to this. I don't want to get caught. It is giving a big bear hug to the people that love rules, Jordan.
Yes. 100%.
It's absolutely doing that.
100%.
And I love it.
I'm changing my super pump. I've decided.
Oh, okay.
Not to this, but you've just reminded me of something else that I love very, very much, which is the two brothers versus Mad Dog at the end.
Yes.
Something very specific happens in this room. First of all, fluorescent light tube acting as like a maple syrup spout for that dude's blood is horrific.
Oh my goodness.
This movie does borderline on horror a lot for me, just based on like my graphic reactions to
just gore, grindhousey gore. Did Mad Dog look like Steven Tyler to either one of you?
No.
Mad Dog absolutely
can't say he did, but he
Indonesian does Steven Tyler.
Oh my. He doesn't post. I don't know if I like that.
Well, that's why when they were killing him, he kept being like, you don't want to miss a thing. You don't want to miss a thing.
Stop.
Don't
so miss in that fight with Mad Dog up in that room with, I believe his brother's name is Andy, with Rama and Andy versus Mad Dog at the very end, there's this moment where Mad Dog sees the opportunity for a cool fight. And instead of fighting Rama one-on-one and making his brother watch, he lets Andy down and is like, catch your breath. Let's do this. He does the same thing with the commander a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And
because he's got a gun. They make sure and show you that like, yo, Mad Dog's got a gun.
Yep.
Commander has a knife. It's over.
Yep.
But they're like reading each other's eyes and he can tell that Mad Dog wants a little bit more.
And that to me, so you're talking about like the boiled down, the essence of the raid. I think it's between the machete scene you're talking about in the wall and this, which is the raid. Same's true in Raid 2, which is the main through line besides just Rama as a character. The main through line is this. Yes, of course we will sacrifice anything to give you the coolest possible fight you've ever seen. Of course we will.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's the sell of the movie. The fact that Mad Dog's like, I can take two of them so I can definitely take one. So I'll just kill Rama real quick. Actually, no. Fight's cooler if I do two. What I want.
On a $140 million less budget, it's putting Hobbs and Shaw in a prison that they can face each other and then have to fight their way out.
Right.
Yes, of course. You understand. Thank you for understanding why I'm here.
Right.
I heard this was a place that served steak. Thanks for having it on the menu. You know, it's just like,
man, I see what they're complaints giving. Online about this movie and Raid 2 saying like, so many times in the fight, they have the upper hand and they let the other person stand up and it's so unrealistic. This is a martial arts movie. The martial art is not like what we're going to see in Ip Man. This is Indonesian martial arts, but this is a martial arts movie through and through, which means that it is about spectacle, technique, and just skill, just a showcase of skill.
Yeah, and there's always going to be a little bit of flair to it. It is closer to WWE wrestling than it is to boxing.
Yes.
Boxing is like, if you made a mistake, you'll die. You're like, punished. It's over. I don't want to keep this going. I don't want to do this anymore. You need to just not be around.
Whereas wrestling,
and then win.
Yeah, this movie absolutely smacks him with a chair, turns toward the audience and cups its hand to its ear. It's like, let me hear ya.
Yeah.
Absolutely it does.
For sure.
Oh man.
For sure.
That WWE that's a perfect analogy. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Can I super dumb?
Please.
Do it.
Can I bring our joy crashing down around us? I think the things that this movie does really well are the kind of elemental stuff that we're talking about. Where it's like one guy punch one other guy.
Yes.
One guy punch at two other guy.
Yes.
One guy stick knife in wall where other guy hide. Fight to top of building, fight to bottom of building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My super dump, I think, is when the movie tries to do it more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think when our script tries to do the crooked cop stuff, the who set us up, all of that.
Sure.
I just don't think that lands. I don't think that it's I don't know, man. And it's tough for me to say I don't think it's acted well because I'm reading subtitles. I'm not watching facial expressions.
I agree,
but
yeah.
Just something about it is just, it doesn't work for me. And it's like, man, that is, you know, that's a weird thing to throw in the mix with this movie that is otherwise so immediately understandable without subtitles.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, super dumb for me is Crooked Cop's character in general. And I think it's because we don't need to feel threatened about this building via the avenue of finding out you got set up.
No.
We don't. It seems like the only person who knows that it's a setup is the head honcho.
Yeah,
right.
So it really shouldn't affect anything that's happening in here. And it doesn't even necessarily need to be there for the sake of the connection to Raid 2, which we can talk about
well,
more.
Yeah. I think it's only there because we wanted to make Raid 2. It's like we talked about when we did La La Land a million years ago. Raid 2 was the one that was like, this is what we want to make. And so kind of scaled it back, wrote a different movie called The Raid Retribution. And Redemption. It feels to me, The Raid Redemption. It feels to me like the mentality was like, well, we have all this Crooked Cop stuff in the one I really want to make. So let me do some Crooked Cop stuff here.
So Rama was not a cop in draft one of The Raid 2. So The Raid 2 was originally called, I think, Baron Tao, which I don't remember what that translates to, but it was just
thug.
It was just a thug rising up the ranks in a gang movie. The cop decision came from, let me rephrase that. If he was a cop, it was very Departed, like just put you in as a rookie because you're a good fighter kind of a thing. The connection to the...
It's kind of Raid 2.
Yeah. The connection to the Crooked Cop stuff, I assume, was written into 2 and 1 simultaneously, I think.
Yeah. It was whenever that script for The Raid 2 actually became a sequel to The Raid.
Right.
It was written as something else first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that I saw that was a through line so far through 5 for Fighting is one of the things that makes most movies better. I haven't done enough research to have a full argument to say all, but especially has made our 3 action movies better is just action movies don't have to be void of heart.
Sure.
I think sometimes people assume that. And sometimes there's fun ones that are that way. I think 300 tried to make it, but it ended up laughing at itself. Mm-hmm. It ended up ironically being like, for each other. Mm-hmm. But to have the twist of the brothers is great. I really do like that.
Yeah, I love
to
that.
Have Rama as an expecting father is great. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's too pokey to be like, don't you really want to be with, it doesn't feel like too heavy handed to me. Mm-hmm. And I do enjoy that because we get the drama too of ultimately, I think through Mad Max Fury Road,
whoa.
Furiosa's
Fury
eyes,
Road is a spinoff that's only available
online.
That is
online, a spinoff. It's a WB product. But Furiosa to like try and get back home and save other people that she feels like she can relate to. That's heart. That's awesome. And then we have
Nux.
Nux. Yeah. Completely changing there. And then blatant like cover romance, bromance of Ram Raju and those two.
And
but I love having the heart here. And I think it definitely made for a better story. I want to do something. Have we super pumped and dumped?
I have not dumped yet.
Do you want to dump?
Yeah.
You want to take it out?
I would love to dump if you don't mind. My super dump is simply that if we're going to make Mad Dog the final boss of the game, let's give him some more screen time prior to the fight. I think having the main boss of this building be a pretty impotent threat by the end felt a little anticlimactic to me. Like by the time we got up there, it was just stick him up, follow me down the stairs, and now you're dead. Whereas Mad Dog was the real scary guy. And I think maybe this movie's better served if Mad Dog is the guy who runs the building. And gets to, because it's not like the other guy was doing a lot of acting. It's not, I don't understand why we had Mad Dog just be like main henchman number one rather than big boss guy. Because he wasn't,
especially if he's a big enough deal that we bring him back as a different character in the Raid too.
Dude, which apparent from what I understand, Aiko and, let me find this guy's name real quick. Aiko and Yayan Ruhian, who plays Mad Dog, are like, essentially like the Jet Li Jackie Chan of, Indonesia. So to me, it makes sense that we want them to be these prominent, cool honor fighters who just like beat the hell out of each other for fun. But at the same time, it's like, then just make him big boss guy of the building and give him some cool lines and let him be scary behind the TVs, you know?
I agree. I was going to say, and I'm glad we brought up Mad Dog, but I think what we should do, here's what I posit for, because we're in my world.
Sure.
In the Mini Monday world.
Yeah.
I think it's still going to be five for fighting. So I think we have to choose one champion from the raids together, right? I think that's assumed. I think we can bring some people to the table today for this episode.
To discuss.
Yeah. And then perhaps that comes up again in Raid 2. Yep. I think it should be from both Raid movies. I think it should be Mad Dog.
I also think it should be Mad Dog.
I have a strong argument for Rama that we will get to eventually.
Okay.
Okay, wonderful. Then let's just end it here.
Let me listen to me. Hear you me, brothers. The dude that plays Mad Dog is so cool that I am fine with whatever we do.
Yeah, I'm totally
cool. I'm cool either way.
Come on.
I'm cool either way.
I'm cool either way should be the tagline for Five for Fighting.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, what are we doing here? Are we dissecting six, technically, movies with the... I mean, even if you came in here and you said The Raid 1 and 2 are terrible movies, cool. How were the fight scenes, though? That's not what it's selling. Cool.
That's fine.
100%.
It's like going to a steak restaurant and being like, the salad was whatever. And it's like, that's not why you showed up, ding dong.
They use A1 steak sauce. They don't make their own.
You didn't have to put it on.
Pardon?
Pardon me.
The salt is Morton's.
I'm asking it if you pardon me. I'm Martin. Let's do some scientific cinema scale here on this Mini Monday. I do want to give its just reward for another good movie. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing we could say is buy it. Mm. Then we have rent it, followed by a stream it like a crawdad in the stream where it sings.
When the crawdads stream.
No doubt.
The crawdads stream.
Dude, stop talking. I got pee so bad right now. We're talking about too much water.
Then it's forget it. And then last, but certainly the leastest of them all.
God hath forsaken us.
I do buy the Raid Redemption. I think in the vast pool of action movies, this was and still is unlike something that I have seen before. I find myself a sucker for the simplicity of an action flick. And then again, I'm just a sucker for a yes and in the action franchise because Fury Road is such a different movie.
Yeah,
and so is RRR. But I do love the economic savvy of directors, because that gives us things like Die Hard, that gives us things like The Raid Redemption, that gives us things like Alien, when they have to just make the best they can out of all they have, and then they ask for a little bit more just to try and do this thing. I love that. I love the actual fight of making this flick and that it turned out so good.
Yep.
I will rent The Raid Redemption. Re-rent-tion. Nice. Because I think normally if I liked a movie as much as I liked The Raid, I would say, that was awesome. Let me watch all the coolest, let me go to YouTube and find coolest fight scenes in The Raid. But that's most of the movie. And so I'd feel like I was, you wouldn't download a car kind of thing. I would be pirating it. So I'm going to rent it.
It's a weird reason to rent something, but I support whatever.
Yeah.
Dude,
trying to be alive, man.
I'm renting this movie because if I wanted to watch the coolest parts, I would just have to watch the whole movie again. Rent. Yeah, I'm buying it. It's too cool. I don't know. It's like, if you're like, I got 90 minutes to kill and I want to watch the best fighting. Yeah, just go ahead and turn on the Raid. It's a buy. Easy. I would own this for sure.
Yeah. To end today's episode, I'd love to have your name. And I want you to let me know, what room do they stumble upon to find you and what weapon are you holding?
Amazing.
Cool.
In this building. I'm Carter, and there is a relatively well taken care of, mostly ratty, fitness center.
Mm. Mm.
And the weights are crude and of all shapes and sizes. And I happen to be lifting at the time. And I simply lean each of the barbells... lean the barbell over to have the plates fall off. And cool. I'm just swinging like a mace around this massive barbell.
I love this.
Very cool.
Just in big little sweeps.
It's hucking plates like Captain America.
Hucking plates, dude.
Cool.
Launching them like a discus.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Big time. You're taking one of them bouncy balls with the handle.
Yeah.
And just bopping, just bopping.
You know, like every fitness center has a hop around or whatever they're called. In my fitness, and I've got the big parachute from elementary school gym. Right,
yeah,
class.
We're gonna head.
They have it for inside
four
sets recess.
Of 10 on the hop around. I'm Doge, and I guess currently they would find me in the infirmary, in the nurse's office, probably of the apartment building. And my weapon is my outstretched tongue.
Mucus.
It's me. It's me. I'm a bioweapon. I'm Typhoid Doge at this point in my life.
Patient zero, baby.
Wow.
I'm Jordan. They're going to find me about midway up. They're going to enter into a room. The room is sparse. It's got a bed. It's got a single pillow on a carpeted, like a rug, and a TV. And I'm just sitting so close to the TV, just watching movies and TV shows and stuff. And my weapon would be the only weapon that keeps you from dying in this entire movie. Indifference. The only people that aren't murdered is the couple that's just like, what are they doing here? All right, never mind. And then they're gone. That's
one of them just happens to act as if he accidentally had a bat in his hands. Yeah. He's like, oh, did this?
Oh, I don't know.
And then
know.
He's murdered.
Oh, didn't mean and to. And then he's murdered. Yeah, no, my weapon, they would kick my door open and without ever turning my face away, I'd be like, close it when you leave.
It's fine.
Close it when you leave. Can't back out and close it when you leave. Thank you. You're letting the light also, in. I'm trying to watch Jeopardy.
On our way out, do we want to make an argument that the neighbors here were just a couple guys that worked at like GameStop? Like, who are the guys? Our snipers felt like they just walked across, and it was not snipery to me. But I was like, this is perfect. These guys definitely can shoot, but it just looked like they came over from a Zoomies.
By the way, the soundtrack to this movie was done pretty much entirely by Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park.
Oh, cool.
Which is why it's so sick.
Oh my gosh.
That's why when the snipers come out, it's like, like it's so like industrial metal weirdness. And I'm about it. So
I'm about it.
Anywho, bye.